Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. It's good to see everybody here this evening, and as we begin tonight's lesson, we're going to be talking about the word encourage and what's involved in encouragement and the responsibility that each of us possess to be encouragers to one another. And as we talk about it this evening, we're going to look at a number of things involved. If you picked up an outline of the lesson, you'll see that there are going to be a number of things involved. But I want to make a point that we can be encouraged in some very subtle ways as well. And I'm just going to take a moment as a personal reference to the fact that Everett is here this evening, and I asked Everett how he was doing. And he said, not well, but I'm here. And I told him in complete seriousness, and he understood it as such, that that was encouraging to me. The fact that he's not feeling up to it at 90 plus, and yet he's here. And he's not here to nap. He's here to listen. And that's an encouragement to each and every one of us. And so while we talk about encouragement this evening, we're going to look at it from a number of facets. But even the simple fact that you're present here is an encouragement to someone, and possibly it's an encouragement to everyone. Now, when we look at this word encouragement, we need to understand that there is in the original language some words behind it that help us to see a deep meaning to the word encourage. It is to call for, to speak by way of exhortation, entreaty, comfort, instruction, and admonition. To strengthen and encourage by consolation and teaching. That's Vine's definition of this word. As we examine the word encourage and encouragement, we recognize the idea is to inspire others in their spirit and in their sense of hope and accomplishment. The root of this word encourage is courage. And in the Latin, the meaning is the idea to give someone heart. It is the idea that if I am going to encourage you, I am changing or adding to your heart to make it stronger, to make it see the possibilities that are before you. And of course, in our conversation, it's going to be in relation to God. In this idea of encouragement is the idea also of a cordiality that we are to possess as children of God. And it means that we make inquiry with kindness. We do those things out of charity and love and generosity that are going to build someone up. And in most instances, it results in a friendliness and a warm courtesy to others. Now, as we look at this word and see it in this particular passage, we note that there are no restrictions as to who is to be the encourager. Nor are there any restrictions as to who is to be encouraged. So what we're going to take from the lesson this night, I would pray, is that each of us has a responsibility to be an encourager to others in this congregation. I've made the point over our short time together that there are going to be a number of lessons that not only talk about the idea that we don't want to be perceived among ourselves or anybody else as a church that has problems. I'm not aware of such a thing, but I'm saying as a preventative, we don't want that. But the other thing that I want us to have, and perhaps we already have that, and I'm not aware of it because I'm not that familiar with the community over the last 9 years, but we also want to be known as people that encourage other people. So that those who would come to be with us will leave having felt that indeed They had a friendliness and a warmth and a courtesy built up within them because of their association with us. Someone has said that this is beyond the sentiment that's expressed in a greeting card. It is the idea of encouraging someone to instill courage in them when they face great challenges. When a great challenge comes your way and you need the courage, sometimes it's hard to muster the courage. But when things are well and others are building courage up within you, and the challenge is now put before you, the probability of success is going to be so much greater because of the encouragement others have been giving you all along. And so that's what I'm hoping that we will all leave here wanting to do. Encourage one another, not just when times are difficult, but in the easy road as well. So that we are encouraging one another both in times of great hope and happiness, but also in times when it seems hopeless. In times when it does not seem to be good, that adversaries are around us. As we consider then this matter of encouragement, the obligation of encouraging one another, we begin first of all by recognizing that everyone needs encouragement. You may not believe you do. I have met few people who really came out and wanted to be such a rock that they said, I don't need any encouragement. That's an oddity, and quite frankly, I'm not sure they're being honest with themselves. Everyone needs it. It requires spiritual benefits when we are encouraged, and we'll receive those spiritual benefits as we look at the lesson this evening. And the third point we're going to talk about is why we don't encourage each other. And unfortunately, that does happen. Unfortunately, there can be some within the congregation that are known as encouragers, and others simply are not. At the end of the lesson, we'll obviously ask the question, which are you? Let's get to the first point. Everyone needs encouragement. And yet some say, oh no, not me, not me. I would suggest that if you are sitting there thinking you're in that category of someone who says, not me, it may be because of parental upbringing. I realize that some people are raised in a very stern environment in which they are taught, look, we're self-sustaining. It's our little family. And sometimes it's not even the idea of our extended family of aunts, uncles, grandparents. No, it's just us. Mom, dad, and the kids. And the children are raised, that's all you need, is just us. That's the problem that needs to be dealt with. There are people who don't experience enough encouragement from others, and therefore they don't know the benefits and the importance and the joy that it gives. And so they think, not me, but it's simply because they have not tasted of the encouragement. Many times it's because we simply have some fiery independence that says, if I need your encouragement, then I'm not being independent. Let me say that that just is not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about needing each other and depending on each other. Another point to consider is the fact that God's Word teaches, yes, me. Yes, I need to be encouraged. If you want to open your Bibles over to Ephesians, the third chapter, do so. Hebrews, the third chapter, or you can follow it on the screen. Hebrews, the third chapter, verses 12 through 14. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. The way we hold our confidence steadfast to the end is because there are others who are encouraging us. So if you think you're one that says, oh, no, not me, understand that you need it. It needs to be a part of your life. Anyone who goes back into sin, anybody who has a sin that they are having difficulty overcoming, is a person that needs encouragement. One of the greatest tools Satan has at his disposal is for you to think that if here's the sin that you battle, there are hundreds that you don't have any problem with. But here's the sin you battle. Satan wants you to believe, go it alone. Eventually, you need to get yourself stronger by yourself so you can be in control and not commit this sin I love you committing. That's Satan talk. But if that sin is there and you're not getting control of it, and if you're truly going to take it to God in prayer, you need to understand that in taking it to God in prayer, you're willing to reach out and seek the wise counsel of another, that they can help you and show you the way through the defeating of that sin. We all, as members of the Highway 157 Church, we know either by memory or the essence of 1 Corinthians 10:13. And the way of escape of that particular sin may be by you going to someone in confidence and saying, here's the sin I can't get a handle on. As an aside to the lesson, we need to recognize that this requires confidentiality. This requires discretion. So that hand in hand with this lesson is a warning against the idea of gossiping. So that you will not be someone that I would be afraid to come to help me with this problem because your names come up as a gossip. An aside to that aside is this. Besides, this is probably going to be a two-part sermon, Judy. We're not going to make it in one night, and that's okay. If you hear of somebody who's a gossip, you know what you need to do? Go to the gossip. That's a scary thing, I know. But you need to go to them. And I realize that oftentimes we're afraid of opening a whole can of worms. One, they may not be a gossip, and the one that was really the gossip was the one who claimed the other was the gossip. You don't want to get into that kind of mess. But sometimes, the way a problem gets cleaned up is by getting it cleaned up. Not simply sweeping it under the rug. Not pretending it doesn't exist. But to deal with it. So that we become a group where anyone can have a confidence in going to anybody. Back to the point originally, to help them deal with that sin that's got a stranglehold on them. We need to be encouraging one another to recognize everyone needs encouragement. Everyone needs to have others as an important part of their life. Praise and commendation for the good that you do is something that is often overlooked. It's something that's often taken for granted. And let me say that that can be true in parenting as well. While the lesson this evening is to us as individuals that we might interact even stronger as a congregation, take it down to the home level as well and recognize much of what we're going to be talking about and have been talking about applies in the home environment as well. We need to be encouraging one another to be ready each day of our lives for the things that are before us, that we might be victorious. The reason this is such an important thing of praise is when you consider what's said in Romans, the first chapter and verse 8. Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Understand the significance of this passage. It would be my belief, and you're welcome to disagree, and we can talk about this sometime. It is my contention that Romans was a letter written to Christians at Rome. It was not written to the Roman Church of Christ. It was written to the saints at Rome, and by the time you get to chapter 16... there are a number of churches there in Rome that whoever received the letter was to share in commendation and greeting to them. But his point is, they had a reputation. They were known because of their faith, and he was thankful for it. I would pray that each and every one of us would desire that we be known for our faith, and a byproduct of that faith is that this is a place to come to be encouraged in your service to God, in your daily walk with your family, in your walk with your friends and your co-workers. Over in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, as the Apostle Paul uses the illustration of a body to talk about the importance of interdependence. You could read the entire chapter, but just look at verse 26 when he makes the point in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. And if any one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if any one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. There is a sense in which the word body is used exclusively for the church universal. In this particular passage, the Apostle Paul seems to also be using the illustration, the analogy of a body, to reference the relationship that we have, whether it's with all Christians or here specifically to the Corinthian church, we can make application for ourselves as well. Each and every member here has to have such a care about what's going on in the life of others that they can be ready for the suffering that others are involved in. That they can be ready for the honor that others are receiving. If we simply become members of the congregation that get their name checked off by Henry, and therefore don't draw much attention to ourselves as being a problem of whether or not you're coming to church or not, if we simply use this congregation for that purpose, we will not gain all the blessings God wants us to have by being a part of this congregation. And the challenge before us tonight, and I think it's probably a challenge that has been put before you for years, and you strive to meet, and I'm simply continuing that encouragement, is to be that kind of place where you don't come just to get your name checked off so that nobody's on your case as to whether or not you're coming to church. You see this as a congregation, as a group of people that care about what's going on in your life. If we're going to be that kind of congregation, we need to be a congregation that knows one another. We need to be a congregation that has awareness of what's going on in each other's lives. We need to be a congregation. We need to be individuals. We need to be encouragers who are willing to be thanking others. That seems like such a simple matter. It seems like such a trivial thing. In fact, it seems like such a trivial thing that I will admit to you that much of tonight's lesson is for me as you receive the byproduct of it. Because it's real easy to slip into a comfortable mode of life with Christians of like precious faith and forget that even the simplest thank yous can be encouraging and we don't even realize it. And because we don't realize it, we just don't say it. One of the things, and I've commented in the past and I'll comment again, that I appreciate about the congregation here is most of the time I'm mentioned in your prayers. And I thank you for that. That tells me that what I'm about to come up and say is on your heart. I've been in congregations where it was almost never done. And they loved me. It wasn't that they had anything against me. They weren't mad at me. It just wasn't part of the prayer life of the congregation, whomever the speaker was going to be. But just that simple thing of the acknowledgement of whomever the speaker might be is a means of thanking and encouraging. And so take it down to the level of each of us in our daily lives. What service we see from one another. I'll give a personal little example since he's not here. John does a lot for us around here. John Williams does a lot for us. Do we take the time to thank him for it? We probably don't. Maybe we do. But just think about that, as well as our Bible class teachers, the students within the class. Just the sense of having a thank you in your heart for the things they're doing. In Philippians, the first chapter, in verses 3 through 7, Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You all are partakers with me of grace. Paul was telling the Philippians, thank you. Thank you. Now, we sometimes can step back from this particular passage and say, well, of course he says thank you. They're giving him money. Now, you can see from his words and from the rest of the epistle, it's not just about the money. It's about the relationship that they had in the sharing of the gospel. So we need to be encouraging one another by simple thank yous as we are engaged in our lives with each other. I think that in doing so, what we're going to do is provide for others a reassurance, a sense of feeling worth within the congregation. Not allowing a hopelessness to develop. Nobody notices me. Nobody's aware of me. When you look for and seek opportunities to give thanks to them, I truly believe it'll have a greater impact than if it comes from the leaders within the congregation. And we have de facto leaders within the congregation. That's just a reality of life. Don't think yourself too insignificant to give a thank you to somebody, that thankfulness that you've expressed is not going to be appreciated. It will. And so we need to encourage each other in it. It gives us then that sense in hearing that thank you, that sense of, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to get things done. I'm going to succeed. Despite my failings, despite my frailties, despite my flaws, these individuals are thankful for what they've seen as I strive to serve God. We're showing that we're willing to care about one another. Let me say that if you tell someone thank you for the things that you observe them doing in service to God, if problems arise for them, the probability is that they're going to come seeking guidance from you. Don't let that scare you. It might be that the guidance they seek from you, you can't give them, but you together with them can find another who can give guidance to them in their problems. And it all started because you expressed a thankfulness to that individual. We demonstrate our love for one another by saying thank you. We demonstrate that we care about what's going on in each other's lives. It affirms love despite our weaknesses and imperfections. In 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 6 through 11, he's talking about problems that had been addressed in the first book. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man. So that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end I also write, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. It was probably the man in 1 Corinthians 5, the adulterer, that was being dealt with here. He repented. Had they not had that encouraging heart, Paul is acknowledging that it could have driven that person further away from God, even though they had come to a point of repentance, but the reaction from the congregation took them further away. And he didn't want to see that happen. It's what 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 is about. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Love is there to draw the best out of us. In the Galatian letter, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what we need to be doing. Bearing each other's burdens, and being known as individuals who will bear the burdens of others. This is the first point of tonight's lesson. Lord willing, next Sunday night, we'll talk about the spiritual benefits of encouragement. There are tremendous benefits that are before us all. And I would hope that you'll be here next Sunday night to hear the lesson and share in some of the thoughts that I share with you. If you'll get your song books out, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. Obviously, we don't have the slides in front of us, but I would suspect everybody here understands that you're either walking in the light or you're not walking in the light. And if you're not walking in the light, you need to correct it. If you're a child of God that's in darkness, you need to leave that darkness and come back to the light of Jesus Christ. If you're not a child of God, then tonight is the opportunity to have your sins washed away and to put on Christ in baptism. If you have a need to respond, we invite you to have a seat here at the front as we stand together and as we sing.